Blog Talk Radio.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. CCM affiliates, friends, and supporters of this ministry. This is Teacher Margaret Tindall and the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast, coming to you today by way of UFCCM Anointed Radio. Thank you so much for joining us each month, whether you're listening on the phone, on Facebook, or at UFCCM.org. Blessings to you all, and we pray that you all are well. We give honor today to God, to our ecumenical patriarch, to our Episcopal Board of Bishops, our UFCCM affiliates, clergy, and to the laity, and all of our supporters who are tuned in today. We're thankful and grateful that God, by his loving grace and mercy, has allowed us to come together one more time, giving us another opportunity as we continue as co-laborers in the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training. We're excited about all that God is doing in and through the UFCCM, and a heartfelt thanks goes to each and every one of you for your continued prayers and ongoing support as we continue in this ministry. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer. And as we go in prayer this morning, I would ask you to keep in your prayers Elder Beatrice Emerson, whose sister passed yesterday. And Elder Emerson is our co-host for one of our laity ministry programs. Also, Mother Bishop Shirley Tindall lost her uncle this week. So and there may be others that I don't know about, so let us lift each other up in prayer as we go through times of loss and times of sorrow. Father God, in the name of Jesus, and by the authority of your word and your power, we come to you this morning with hearts filled with thanksgiving. Father, we honor you, we worship you, we love you, we adore you. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Father, that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness towards us, God. We just thank you for another opportunity for life. And more importantly, another opportunity to come together in unity to hear the word that you will share with us through our speaker today. We ask that you bless the USCCM all of our affiliates, everyone that is associated. And please bless those listeners who are our faithful supporters each month who support this ministry. And Father, we ask you to just touch others within the USCCM, that they too may become a part of this ministry of sharing your word that you have placed in our hands to oversee. Father, we ask that you look on our broadcast today. We ask you to look on our speaker. Father, you know that you have given him a word, and we are anxiously awaiting to hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, as we go down from this place, we ask you especially to look on those among us who are suffering bereavement, sickness, sorrow, whatever challenges we face. Father, we know that you've got this, and you've got it all under control. You are the sovereign God, and you have all power. Father, we ask you today to use this broadcast to be a blessing to someone who may need to hear a fresh word from you. Father, we ask these blessings and all other blessings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen. Our scripture today is one that I woke up on my heart this morning as I prepared through early this morning, and it just resonated with me, and I just kept, it rested within me, and I just kept hearing encouragement. And this scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and selected verses, verse 1 and then verses 5 through 9. And I'm reading from, the King James Version. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This word of the Lord is shared for our encouragement today. I keep hearing encouragement, encouragement, as we continue to do the work of the Lord that he has assigned to our hands. As UFCCM laity, we are encouraged to live our lives fully and faithfully, carrying in the fragile containers of our own lives and daily walk the knowledge of access to God's glory through Jesus Christ. God allows us to suffer along the way, sickness, loss of loved ones, disease, COVID, financial challenges, and many others, the exigencies of life. Yet God keeps us from ever being fully destroyed. God never forsakes us, is always with us through the worst, keeping us from being crushed and totally despairing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged and continue to move forward by faith. In spite of all that we've been through, we partakers of the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training come to you faithfully each month, and we're continually seeking God's face through messages focused on his word, messages of hope, of encouragement, of inspiration, designed to build us up spiritually and empower each and every one of us daily Christian walk. And we're so thankful to God for the words of his scripture that encourages us to journey on. We're honored today to have as our speaker, UFCCM affiliate, the Honorable Marlon Brown of Mason, Michigan. First and foremost, I'd like to tell you that he is a man of God, a young man, a very young man of God. Brother Marlon works for the state of Michigan as the chief administrative officer for the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs. He earned a bachelor's in political science from American University in Washington, D.C., a master of public administration from the University of Delaware, and he is currently pursuing a doctorate in public administration at Valdosta State University in Valdosta, Georgia. Brother Marlon serves as the mayor pro tem for the city of Mason, Michigan, and volunteers on governance boards for several nonprofit organizations. He has also served in ministry leadership positions such as Director of Music for St. John AME Church in Newark, Delaware, and as a National Youth Officer in the AME Zion Church. Brother Marlon attends Trinity Church in Lansing, Michigan, and serves in the Ministry of Worship Arts. He is happily married to Margaret Brown, and they are the parents of their son, Owen. But, you know, after all is said and done, most importantly, he is a man of God. We prepare with our education and our studies and all to meet man, but it is so much more important that we are prepared to meet God. And Brother Marlon exemplifies this, not only the secular preparation, but spiritually. We're so delighted to have him as our speaker for this broadcast, and he will be sharing with us today on the topic, having a faithful presence. Let me repeat that, having a faithful presence. We're eager to hear what God has in store for us through him today to our hearts and encourage us to continue to move forward by faith. So without further preliminary, we bring to your hearing Brother Marlon Brown. Good afternoon, Brother Marlon.
Good afternoon, Teacher Tendall, and good afternoon, good morning to everyone else who is on the broadcast. Thank you so much for this invitation to participate in the Laity Outreach broadcast. I am just truly honored to have the opportunity to share with all of our USCCM partners and affiliates. It's really a pleasure, and I'm excited to really be a part of today's program. I also just want to take a moment to acknowledge the leadership of this fellowship, to our Ecumenical Patriarch, Bishop Henry A. Tendall, to our Mother Bishop, Shirley A. Tendall, to the Episcopal Board of Bishops, to our Sacred College of Bishops, to the UFCCM National Officers and Staff, and to all of our affiliates. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I first received an invitation to be a part of today's broadcast, I must confess, I had no idea what on earth I could share with such an esteemed audience. I look up to so many of the leaders in the UFCCM for the spiritual nourishment and encouragement that they provide to me. And I almost feel a little out of place being asked to do the same for others. Nevertheless, I know that things do not just happen by coincidence. And so I trust and pray that God has placed a few words on my heart that will hopefully be a blessing to someone else listening to this broadcast. Now, as already been stated, the UFCCM for this year is continuing to move forward by faith. And one of the scriptural references is Hebrews chapter 11, and that provides some great examples of faith throughout the Bible. The underlying message that I took from Hebrews chapter 11 comes in verse 6, which says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. This to me means that faith is not limited to a singular moment in time, but rather is a continual state of being. So we have faith in the current moment, and we continue to move forward by faith for what lies ahead in the future. But that declaration raises an interesting question to me. How do I move forward in faith? Well, I would contend that we move forward by faith by having a faithful presence. So for today's broadcast, I'd like to share a few thoughts and observations about having a faithful presence. So here's the big idea of this talk. God's presence in our lives empowers us to have a faithful presence that is a blessing to others. And I'll say that again. God's presence in our lives empowers us to have a faithful presence that is a blessing to others. Now, the word presence is often used to describe people in different types of situations. Sometimes we hear in the news about the United States military presence in other parts of the world. This refers to members of the armed services carrying out a short-term or long-term mission in another country. We might hear about an actor or a musician having tremendous stage presence, which refers to having poise or self-assurance about one's artistic performance. We might hear that some leader has a commanding presence, meaning that they are likely to take charge and make decisions when needed. If a person is dignified, cultured, or sophisticated, you might say that they have a fine presence. And then there are times when individuals exhibit indescribable qualities or characteristics, and it's simply said that they have a presence about them. But what is a faithful presence? Well, one explanation of this term comes from a book that I read a few months ago. The book is entitled Faithful Presence, and it is authored by Bill Haslam, who is the former governor of the state of Tennessee. Now, I want to be clear here that I'm not referencing this book in order to promote any sort of party or political agenda. I'm referencing this book because Governor Haslam identifies as a Christian, and in his memoir, he argues that faith should be a unifying force and not a divisive one. Too often we see that in politics, it's filled with vitriol, gamesmanship, self-interest, and devoid of love or compassion for one another. Some would argue that this is reason enough to avoid political involvement altogether. And others would counter by saying that in order to be politically effective, we must master the rules of the game, even if it leads to questionable tactics, all in the pursuit of power or a particular goal. Governor Haslam, however, took a different perspective and argued that people of faith ought to bring a redemptive and healing presence to the public square, that a people who are called to be salt and light ought to enhance public discourse rather than contributing to the discord that often defines politics. Christians and people of faith and goodwill should have a faithful presence in public life. Ironically, Governor Haslam did not invent this idea. After I read the book, I began to think about all the pages of the Bible and all the history of the Christian faith that is filled with stories about people who had a faithful presence. Time and time again, God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways to demonstrate the breadth and depth of his love for us. Interestingly enough, we often think of God revealing himself in grandiose or awe-inspiring ways. Think about Moses parting the Red Sea, or Joshua and the walls of Jericho falling down, or even stories about Jesus' baptism or his transfiguration. But God sometimes reveals himself even more when his children exhibit a faithful presence. That is to say, when we avail ourselves to be used by God, our lives can be a unifying, redemptive, and healing presence in the world. So let's look at some examples of individuals whose faithful presence brought healing, redemption, and unity. There are numerous stories of healing in the Bible, but one of my favorites comes in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when we are introduced to a young boy named David. David was a mere shepherd, but he was also anointed by God to become king of Israel. And the scriptures tell how King Saul was tormented by an evil spirit and wanted a musician to come and play so that he would feel better. One of the king's servants said, "I know a guy named David. He's a good musician. And more importantly, the Lord is with him." So David was brought before King Saul, and whenever he played the harp, the evil spirit would depart from Saul. Now, it's easy to gloss over this story and miss what is really going on here. David was first introduced to King Saul because it was evident that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The servant knew that if King Saul was in David's presence, then the evil spirit would leave him alone. The healing wasn't in the music or in the harp. The healing came because God's Spirit was on David, and David's faithful presence brought the blessing of God to King Saul. Now, maybe you're saying, well, that's a nice story, but I can't go around playing a harp to help people feel better. Well, here's another example for you. Peter had a faithful presence about him as well. Peter was just a fisherman, but he was set apart by Jesus to be the rock upon which the church would be built. The book of Acts, specifically chapter 5, talks about how Peter and the other apostles were performing miracles of healing. So many people were coming to be healed that they would line the streets and wait for Peter to walk by so that his shadow would pass over them and heal them of their ailments. Again, we know that Peter was already filled with the Holy Spirit, which allowed his faithful presence to be a blessing to others. But in this instance, Peter didn't have to lay hands or use a lot of words. No, his faithful presence was enough for God to bring healing into people's lives. Now, secondly, God's redemption can also come from our faithful presence. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul and Silas were imprisoned for preaching the gospel. They were beaten, chained, and thrown into the innermost dungeon. Paul and Silas maintained their faithful presence by praying and singing to God. And the scripture says that around midnight, there was an earthquake so powerful that every prisoner's chains fell off and the doors of each cell were opened. That's a miracle in itself, but there's so much more to the story. The jailer thought that all the prisoners had escaped, and he was ready to take his own life. Peter shouted to the jailer, "Don't kill yourself, because we are all still here in our cells." The jailer ran to Paul and Silas, asking, "What must he do to be saved?" And the story ends with the jailer and his entire household believing in God and being baptized. So through their faithful presence, Paul and Silas brought redemption to the jailer and his entire family. When the jailer was about to take his own life, God not only restored his earthly life, but also granted the promise of eternal life. Lastly, unity can come through faithful presence. I love the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph's brothers were filled with jealousy and hatred toward him. The brothers wanted to kill Joseph, but instead they sold him into slavery and told their father that he was killed by a wild animal. Many years later, there was a great famine, and Joseph's family traveled to Egypt to buy grain. They did not realize that their brother, who they despised and hated, had found favor with Pharaoh and was now a governing official over all of Egypt. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but throughout his life, Joseph trusted in God, and his faithful presence brought unity to his family. What was plotted for Joseph's harm ended up being for his good and the good of all of his family. In each of these stories, God's presence empowered the individual to bring healing, redemption, and unity into the life of someone else. And God was able to reveal himself through the faithful presence of his children. So now that we know what a faithful presence can do, we must ask ourselves, how can one have a faithful presence? And I would argue that when we submit our thoughts, our words, and our actions to God, we can be a faithful presence in the lives of those around us. So let's start with how we can submit our thoughts to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 instructs us that we should take control of our thoughts, or take captive of our thoughts, and make them obedient to Christ. That's one way to submit our thoughts to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 instructs us that rather than thinking about evil things, we should think about what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. That's another way that we can submit our thoughts to God. What about our words? Well, the Bible says a lot about taming the tongue. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 says that our words should be full of grace and seasoned with salt so that we will know how to respond to others. Furthermore, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says that instead of using foul or abusive language, everyone should be good, helpful, and encouraging to others through what they say. And lastly, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3 says that we should guard our mouth by thinking before we speak, and sometimes not speaking at all. So lastly, how do we submit our actions to God? Well, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says that if we commit all of our actions to the Lord, he will allow our plans to succeed. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says that we should demonstrate love through our actions and through our truth. Or as the Amplified version of the Bible says, that we should demonstrate our love through our practical deeds and with sincerity. All of this can be summed up in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, which says, quote, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father," end quote. Now, I want to conclude by just sharing a personal example. This story is not meant to celebrate me or anything that I did, but more simply to rather highlight a time when I was faithfully present to someone else. A few years ago, I was walking out of jazz band one night, and one of my bandmates had shared with me that his child was about to have major surgery. They had been working with several doctors and specialists and were getting ready to go to the hospital the next day. My friend was feeling pretty good about getting to this point, but there's always some apprehension whenever surgery is needed. Normally, I'm quick to tell somebody that I'll keep you in my thoughts and prayers, and I do typically remember them in my personal prayer time. But on this occasion, I felt a nudging to pray with my friend right there. Now, I have to tell you that this is not my normal response at all. In fact, I did not know my friend's religious beliefs, and everything in my flesh thought it would be weird or awkward to stand on the street corner at 10 o'clock at night and pray out loud with someone else. What would my friend think? What would passersby think? And most of all, why, God, why couldn't I just wait until I got back home in the privacy of my own home to pray for my friend? But I was obedient and asked my friend if I could pray with him in that moment regarding his child's surgery. And to my surprise, he was open to this. And it wasn't a long prayer. It was not a particularly verbose or eloquent prayer. It was just something along the lines of, "God, we trust in you for a successful surgery and for a speedy recovery." My friend thanked me for the prayer, and everything ultimately went well with that surgery. Now, I am not saying that it was my prayer that did anything special in this situation. I'm just saying that in that moment, I submitted my thoughts, my words, and my actions to God. And I believe that by allowing myself to be a faithful presence to this friend, that perhaps God revealed himself in some small way through that interaction. So how do we continue to move forward by faith? One of the ways that we can do this is by having a faithful presence. As Saint Francis of Assisi wrote, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Your faithful presence, particularly as a layperson, may be more powerful than any sermon that could ever be preached. But we cannot have a faithful presence unless God is present in our own lives. So we must continually submit our thoughts, our words, and our actions to God, so that he can use us to bring healing, redemption, and unity to the world. So I hope that this was encouraging and inspiring, and my prayer is that God will empower us all to have a faithful presence so that he can touch the lives of those around us. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful, inspiring, and oh, so encouraging word. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
For you, Brother Marlon, and I'm going to call you Brother Marlon. I think it's almost Dr. Brown, but a little bit premature at this point. But we just thank God so much for you and this beautiful, I call it a message of both of challenge and encouragement. And the challenge is for us as Christians and laity and whatever the position we hold in the body of Christ, to avail ourselves to be used by God. Because as you said, when we do this, we can be a powerful force for unity, redemption, and healing. And we know that this is what the world needs right now. Amen?
Amen.
So it's just such a beautiful message, and I can go on and on, but I'm going to refrain. I'm going to give, I know Bishop Haywood has something to say, and then I'm going to ask him to open up the line for our callers today. So Bishop Haywood, your comments?
Well, blessings to you. That was absolutely, you know, precise. I do have a few things that I would like to, ask, comment, interact for just a moment. We want to remind everyone, as Teacher Tyndall always tells you, listen, if you have a question or comment, press 1 on your phone. Pressing 1 basically means that, hey, I got something to say, or it's raising your hand, and then we can see you in the production room and bring you right on line here. And if we don't see anybody that's pressing 1, what I'll most likely do is don't be frightened. What I may do is take you into the screening room and ask you personally by just saying something like, you know, who do we have on the line? That doesn't mean you're on the line. It just means I'm just trying to find out if you have a question or comment. All right, so right now, if you have any questions or comment, and I'm sure Teacher Tindall will continue to say that as she always does, press 1 on your phone. Now, I do have a couple of real quick things, you know, and I'm probably going to come back, you know, every now and then as well. Reverend Dr. MB, I want to say that, you know, I think, I don't know if you said the faithful or sages of old, when you were talking about learning from others in the past, did you use the word sages or did you say the faithful of the past? I can't remember.
Probably the faithful of the past, I was referring to how many others are particularly a part of the fellowship are always so good at giving spiritual nourishment and encouragement. And it was just my hope and prayer that something I said today would do the same for someone else.
Yeah. So here is what I'd like to do. You know, I'd like to ask you, and I want to kind of just, you know, frame, you know, what I'm about to say, you know, in a probably one-dimensional, you know, way. Being a public servant and also working, you know, for government, I think you work for government as well as being a public servant as a on the council. And now, in your area, do you have a weak mayor or strong mayor system?
We have a weak mayor system. So we have a council that sort of determines the policy, and then we hire a city manager from the day-to-day operations of the city.
Okay, so then your city manager is a weak mayor, or is that someone separate?
No, we have a mayor who really just serves as the president of the council.
Right, okay. All right, so the reason for my question, I heard you. Now, I have one other thing I have to ask, because I have to know this before I ask the questions I'm going to ask. Now, on the where you serve, is that a nonpartisan run, or do the council run in partisan races?
No, we're fortunate in Michigan that all city level offices are nonpartisan. So I do not have to declare a party at all to run for city council, which is a blessing.
Okay. Yes, it is.
And is it by district or at large?
All at large. All seven members of the council represent the entire city.
Okay. Okay. Now that gives me a pretty good idea of where I want to head here before you jump into the Congress or the Senate or something like that. So, which I'm sure we're going to see at some point. So, the question that I have is you phrase something by the book you read, and if you don't mind, you know, for the listeners and for me, I'm really saying for the listeners, but it's really for me. Because I didn't remember and I didn't write it down. What was the name of the book and who was the author again?
The name of the book is Faithful Presence. So I kind of took the title from that book. And it's written by Bill Haslam, Haslam. And he is the former governor of the state of Tennessee. The book just came out this year. And I actually read about the book on a Christian news article. And I decided I would pick it up and listen to it on Audible. And the idea stuck with me, and I wanted to borrow that thought for today's broadcast.
Now, I know Teacher Tindall worked in government as well. So, and then, of course, for the last 21 years, my wife and I have been extremely connected into the government as city leaders or religious leaders or whatever we want to call it. We've been through three city managers, three police chiefs, four actually. So in any event, here's where I'm going. You and people are starting to press one, Teacher Tindall, so I'm going to make this short, and
yes,
maybe I'll come back later. The question that I have is, how do you balance with the book that you read? Because it was something I thought was extremely having that light, you know, and making that particular difference in the from scripture, that difference in the political arena. And then when you start talking about partisan politics, liberals, Democrats, conservatives, Republicans. I really want to ask you a few questions about that in just a moment. We don't need to talk about it now. We may or may not have time, but the listeners are asking, you know, for some space. So, Teacher Tindall, would you like me to just go ahead and bring them in?
Yes, please bring them in.
Okay. So let me do that real quick. All right, caller, you are at 301-758. Go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Elder Hunt from First Church in Baltimore Headquarters Jurisdiction. Good morning, Brother Marlon, and to everybody on the line this morning. I thank God for your presentation, and I thank God for your opening statement that God's presence in our lives empowers us to have a faithful presence that is a blessing to others. And as I was listening to your presentation, and especially when you shared your experience with one of your friends, it brought to mind an experience that I had a couple of years ago. I was at the mall. I went to pick up my glasses, and there was a young man who came in. He was in a wheelchair, and I looked at him, and for some reason, I was just drawn to that young man. And when I left the mall, he was still on my mind. And when I came outside, he came outside as well. And we were outside the doors of the mall, and the Spirit said to me, just go to that man and ask him if you can pray with him. So I was obedient to the Lord. I asked him if he would mind if I prayed with him. And he was so welcoming, and I asked him what happened to him. He said he'd been shot. He had a gunshot wound. So we stopped right there. Didn't matter to me who was around. I needed to do what God was laying on my heart to do, and I prayed with him and for him. And I never saw him again, but I believe in my heart that God moved either in that young man's heart and or in his body. He may be walking today for all I know, but I do know that when God's presence is with us and when he directs us to do something on his behalf, it will bring glory to God, and it will bring a change in somebody's heart. So I greatly appreciate this message this morning, Faithful Presence. I'll be thinking about that and carrying that with me. So thank you, Brother Marlon, for sharing that with us today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your story as well. It's so encouraging to hear others that respond to God in the moment, not knowing why or what will happen, but simply just to avail ourselves to however God wants to use us.
Thank you, Elder Hunt, for that. And Brother Marlon, that your story in Elder Hunt's reminds me of that scripture, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God, and the rest of that verse, but we're not ashamed, and when we have the faithful presence, we're not ashamed.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
All right. Caller, you're at 920-819. Go right ahead.
Hello, Brother Marlon. That was beautiful message. I just love a lot of the imagery because it sticks in my brain longer. And one of the things that you presented was the different types of presence. And as I was looking through that, I thought, you know, God really calls us to have those presence throughout our life, like the military presence, short or long-term mission. I thought, well, yeah, short or long-term mission trips. The stage presence, when we're asked to get up and give a word, we should be self-assured because we aren't self-assured. We're assured of Christ in us. And then the commanding presence, as we should have our weapons of warfare and have a commanding presence and take charge in situations when we are needed. So I just loved everything that you had to say, and it really spoke deeply to my heart. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm so glad. I love how you just further illuminated that analogy even more than what I did. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so glad it was impactful.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sister Monica, for calling in. Brother Marlon, before we take any more callers, it occurs to me to ask this question for those who may not understand. What does it mean in general to have presence?
So when I was looking, and I looked up the word presence in the dictionary, and that's when I came to a lot of those different definitions, whether it's, you know, commanding or, you know, being the life of a party or something. But there's something intangible about a person that becomes tangible in any given environment. And that's sort of my paraphrasing of it. And so in the example of having a stage presence, it's one of those things where you know it when you see it. A person gets up on stage and they act and it just connects and resonates with you, or they sing and it connects and resonates with you. And that's something you can't quite but it becomes very real to the person who is experiencing that presence. And so I wanted to translate that idea into, you know, faith is, you know, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. It's something that is not tangible in that I can hold it or I can feel it, but it is something that we experience. And by having a faithful presence, that something that may seem untangible can then be made tangible or practical to the person that is experiencing our presence.
Yes, yes. I wanted you to bring that out because there may be those who kind of may not have that idea in context of presence is, but you're right, it's that intent. It's just, have you ever met someone, it's just something about them that draws you to them?
Yes.
And, you know, Jesus had the ultimate presence, as we know. But it's just that intangible, as you said. So thank you for clarifying that for our listeners. Bishop Haywood, do we have any other callers? I'm sure we do.
Yes, we do. We're looking at 443-415. Caller, go right ahead. You're at 443-415.
I know that's our ecumenical patriarch.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon,
we thank the Lord so much for the opportunity to have listened to the wonderful presentation that came forth this morning from dear son Marlon and Giovanna, all of you that are here this morning. I certainly enjoyed the word that came forth today.
Yeah,
it is right in line with the theme that we have been using for the last, I think, maybe 18 or 19 months, continuing to move forward by faith.
Yes.
And I just thank God that every time I listen to someone on our laity broadcast talk about it, they take us into a different dimension concerning continuing to move forward by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I was especially touched with the presentation that came from Brother Marlon this morning, because it gave a different take
on
the usual understanding that we get from continuing to move forward by faith, and it was summed up in his opening statement.
Mm-hmm.
God's presence is paramount.
Yeah.
In order, God's presence is paramount in order to have a faithful presence. Mm-hmm. So the key for me is that what is it that is faithful in your life, that is present in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us that love the Lord, we know that paramount to all of us is the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
I thought about Cain after he had slain his brother Abel, and the Lord judged him for it. The Bible says, and I think it's the third or fourth chapter of Genesis, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a terrible punishment.
Yes.
Cain literally pled with God, I'll do anything, go anywhere, but please don't let me go without your presence. And even though he was a murderer and had killed his brother, God put a sign in his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
So that everyone who saw him would see him, would know that the presence of the Lord was with him.
Mm.
God is such a loving and kind and merciful God.
Yes, he is, Bishop.
Regardless of where we are in life, what we have done or where we have come from, or who we are, we can ask for God's presence, and God will place his presence through the Holy Spirit
yes.
in our lives, and that presence illuminates mm-hmm. us wherever we go.
Mm.
And I just thank God for that. One other thing I took from that, I looked at the word faithful in a different way this morning
mm-hmm.
when I saw that. I usually think of faithful to whatever it is that you're faithful to. But when I was listening to the words coming from Brother Marlon this morning, a different take came on it.
Mm-hmm.
I, instead of using the word as faithful, I thought of it as being you should be full of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
When you say faithful, that means that you're faithful to something. But if you turn it around, you can get that understanding that you should be full
yes.
of faith.
Yeah.
I know full faith is not a word, but when you be faithful that way, let's not only be faithful to what we're doing, but let's be full of the faith, which
yes.
is the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord
yes.
that we serve is a living God. The word says he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.
Yes.
And he lives within us,
God.
And his presence emanates from us when we walk forward in the presence of the Lord. I want to continue to tell my brother Marlon, continue to do what you're doing. It's wonderful to
yes.
be able to go into the Word of God and glean the truths
mm.
that are so present in God's Word. And to all of us that have listened to the broadcast today and will be sharing this with others,
yes.
tell them the importance
mm-hmm.
of
yes.
being faithful of the presence of the Lord in their lives. And if I may say one more thing without trying
mm-hmm.
to be long-winded, so many times in life, we make spur-of-the-moment thoughts or decisions
mm-hmm.
or reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what comes out of us is not really indicative of the presence of the Lord in us.
Yes, that's right.
We're human. We all have problems.
Yes.
But the more we stay in the presence
yes.
of God, the more the presence of God will come out of us.
Yes.
We have situations in which our inertia of our initial move, our initial reactions take place.
Yes.
The presence of the Lord will come out. So keep up the good work and may God bless you all.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, for that exposition on that word faith as relates to what Brother Marlon shared. And I wrote down something else that he shared, which I think is so critical, that faith is a continual state of being.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Faith is a continual,
continual state.
It's not just faith today and no faith. It is a continual.
Yes.
And I thought about when we read in Hebrews where it says now faith. And this
mm-hmm.
is what came to me. It's continual because whenever you read it, the word now is there.
Yes.
If
yes.
I read it today, it's now faith. If I read it tomorrow, I should now faith. If I read it
That's
5
right.
years from now faith, denoting the continuity of the state of being of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mother Bishop, do you have any comments?
Yes, Teacher Tyndall. First of all, I honor the Lord for being able to be here, and to everyone that is present, I believe the protocol has been set, and of course to our speaker. I'm just sitting here. I got my notes and everything, and I just thank God for this young man bringing this message, and I'm going to say message because
yes.
it is bringing a healing, enlightenment, empowerment to those of us that are listening. And I thank God because I wrote down so many things. And when he began to talk about, because I was curious, I was wondering, I can call him Marlon because he's my son in love, but I was wondering how he was going to bring out this
mm-hmm.
faithful presence.
Yes.
And as he began to really go into it, I said to myself, I said, wow. I said, every Christian needs to hear this.
Amen.
Because we all have some type of presence. You know, it's like they said, when some people walk into a room, they say, oh, here comes the class clown, or here comes the mediator, or this person is bringing an humble spirit or whatever. And I said, you know, it really behooves us as Christians that we need to reexamine ourselves and
yes.
see what it is that we bring forward.
Yes.
And our presence, and as Brother Marlon said, our presence, I don't even have to open my mouth. When you have someone that walks into a room that's like, oh, wow, that person doesn't even have to open their mouth. It's something that eludes from them. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, that is the kind of spirit that we want to have when we walk. We don't have to carry the sign like Brother Marlon did when he prayed for his friend, or Elder Hunt. You don't have to carry the sign, but there's something about your presence that will ensure that God's spirit will take over that situation. And that is so important for us today. And it can illuminate any facet and all facets of our lives. People have presence that are not always positive.
So true.
And as Christians, we need to make certain that our presence is one of faithfulness that we've just been talking about. There is so much that can be said about what Brother Marlon has just said when he talked about how faith should be a unifying force, how it can be a healing force, and how it can be redemptive. We need to really look at that and apply it to our lives. And if we cannot apply it or find ourselves somewhere in that mix, because we know that we're on a continuum, that we need to be saying, Lord, increase my faith, or move me into the point that I've learned to keep my mouth shut and just let my presence, which is the Holy Spirit, speak for me. That's just so much. This was such a powerful and uplifting message that was brought to. It truly encouraged my soul and encouraged my spirit today. And I just want to say to Brother Marlon to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to just use you. And I'll say this, I'll put a short plug in and I'll stop, but Brother Marlon and Elder Margaret at their church in Trinity, the Lord is using them in a way that is touching literally hundreds of souls, a ministry that the Lord is opening up. And I thank God, because when I heard him talking about this, I said, okay, Lord, this is exactly the reason why you have placed Margaret and Marlon where they are at now, so that their words, even when Marlon ministers through music, and how souls are touched and blessed. So we thank and praise God for this message. I'm going to stop because I just have gotten so much down on my notes. But Brother Marlon, continue to do the will and the work that God has assigned your hands to do. And we love you dearly.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You know, Mother Bishop, when you were speaking, I was thinking, when you talked about presence, there are some people that when they're known for clearing a room quickly.
Yes.
Seriously, there are people because of, and you know, presence can be negative as well.
Yes, that's right, teacher.
And there are people that have a type of presence that can clear a room. Or
that
if a group of people are standing on a sidewalk talking, they can clear the sidewalk. And there are other people that when they walk into a room, the room lights up because they are in
there.
And
right.
I said this, Mother Bishop, because early on I said this message is both encouragement and the challenge.
Yes.
And the challenge is answered by what Brother Marlon talked about. How can you have a faithful presence when he gets the scripture? We need to examine ourselves and see how our what kind of presence do we have.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes, we have the Lord and we're saved and all, but there's more. What kinds of presence do we have? And I challenge you to look at those scriptures, and if you don't remember them, you can go in the archives of the broadcast and listen to this again and jot them down so that we who do not have this presence can seek the face of God through the word and have that kind of presence that's unifying, that's redemptive, and that's healing to bless other people.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mother Bishop.
Praise God.
Any other callers, Bishop Haywood?
Well, we have a lot of callers, but no one that has pressed one. I think they're probably just sitting there like, wow, what am I really, really listening to here. And, oh, you know, I thought I was going to press one. And so if you were sitting there and now you have become conscious again from this good word, you can go ahead and press one.
I have a question for Brother Marlon, if I may, and it's kind of teasing what Bishop Haywood, I think, was getting ready to go there, but I think it's important that we take a minute to examine this. As a child, I was always hearing religion and politics don't mix. Seriously, and I used to hear back in the old, and I'm much older than you, but back in the day, saved people do not have any business in politics. And so I know that you are in political positions, Brother Marlon, even though it's not partisan, right? It's still on the periphery of politics, and you may, I would predict that at some point in your life, you may be more directly a politician through elected office, but I'm going to leave that alone. But my question is, how do you see a faithful presence? And I think I know the answer, but I just want to create a discussion. How can a faithful presence bridge that gap between religion, and I don't want to use the word religion, between salvation or faith and politics?
That's a really great question, and I probably could spend a whole other broadcast talking about that, but I'll answer it in two ways. The first is I don't view politics or public service as merely a career choice, but a calling. And I love how other countries refer to politics. They will say that they have a prime minister or a minister of budget or a minister of defense. And that word ministry paints that it is a service that you are providing to the people, similarly to how we have ministers in a spiritual setting that government, also we are ministers of the government, providing faithful service to the people. So that's the first thing, is that politics and public service for me is not about self-interest, not about anything that I can do in my own right, but about how I can serve and how I can be used to be a blessing to others. And just as many people go into health for those reasons or education or what have you, I view public service in that same light. The second is, yes, there is a lot of division, particularly in our current state of political affairs. And I've conducted myself, or at least tried to conduct myself, in two ways. The first is really by taking captive my thoughts, words, and actions. And so a lot of times when I'm at a council meeting, I will really try to listen to what everyone else is saying before I speak. And a lot of times people will say, you know, oh, Marlon, you have such a way with words. You're so diplomatic. You always say things so much nicer than I would, because I just tell people what I really thought. Or people will say, you know, you have a way of coming into the debate on any issue and really trying to capture what is being said and trying to find what a compromise solution would be. And so it's really listening. I still, every time I drive to council, I pray to God to help me to be discerning, to be wise, to give me the right words to say. And so that is really how I try to carry myself, to be diplomatic, to be thoughtful, to be prayerful. And then a couple years ago, particularly when things at that time were kind of heated politically, I was on retreat. And in that time, God really just kind of spoke to me about not judging others based on their beliefs, whether it be political beliefs or religious beliefs, but really try to remember that we are all created in the image of God. And I may not like what someone else says or does, but I still have to really force myself to try to see, okay, how is this person being an image bearer of God? Are they being an image bearer? And secondly, how are they being an image bearer? And that's really important because particularly in all of our churches, we all have different views on things that are occurring in the world. And, you know, they can be big things, they can be small things. You ask 20 people how they feel about taxes. Some people will say, I hate taxes. And others say, well, this is something that we need to do in order to provide what is needed for our society. And that doesn't make the person who likes taxes evil, and it doesn't make the person who hates taxes evil. Because at the end of the day, what unites us in being image bearers of God is stronger than what divides us, which are any of these ancillary issues. And so that was really challenging for me to not just say, oh, you support this candidate, or, oh, you support this party, and therefore I don't like you, but to really pull myself back and to say, okay, what is redemptive about this person? What is healing about this person? It's really, and sometimes you have to really force yourself to work and see what, you know, but God loves us all. He created us all. And I have to ask God, give me your eyes to see what I need to see in this person and not what I want to see in this person.
Yes. That is so beautiful, beautiful, Brother Marlon, because I serve on a board, which is not an, well, it's an elective office in the community, and I can relate to everything that you're saying. But the last thing you said resonates with me, because one of my most recent continual prayers is not to be judgmental, not to have thoughts when I see someone. Lord, help me to see people as you see them, with your eyes.
Yes.
And so that is very valuable. Bishop Haywood, do we have any other callers?
Well, yes, actually, we do have a few other callers, and just real quick right before I bring them in, obviously I'm not going to be able to get into what I wanted to bring up because there just isn't time for it. Perhaps we'll do another show that specifically, you know, dealing with some of the laity, you know, issues when it comes to how they're interacting, you know, in the community and politics and so forth. But one thing came to my mind, Teacher Tindall, when you were talking about that everyone has a presence, whether it's negative. Something came to my mind, Brother Reverend Dr. Marlon. What came to my mind is, you know, faithful presence versus hateful presence.
Yeah.
You know. You know, and Bishop Tindall, our AP, brought it up, you know, being full of faith. Well, just like you can have a faithful, you know, full of faith presence, you can have a hateful, full of hate presence. And I want to say this, and then I'm going to bring in our callers. We have to be very careful because some of the people that I know who are very good, you know, I mean, good-hearted people, they're good people, they're spiritual people, and they're saved people, a lot of times are the most hateful people.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm, you know, and I'm just going to be, I'm going to put it out there, but you don't know it. And you don't know it because you dig your heels so deep into one side or the other, and then you say it so nicely and so lovingly, you don't realize that you really just be, you have a hateful presence. You're full of hate and not full of faith. All right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'll leave it at that, and maybe we can come back to that another day with the Reverend Dr. Marlon. Caller, you are at 318-974. Go right ahead. Caller, you're at 318-974. Go right ahead.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody, this morning. I'm blessed. This is Bishop Patrick Stubbs from Bastrop, Louisiana. I was just listening in on the call this morning. Dr. Marlon inspired me this morning with the message that he presented to us, and I just wanted to just commend him on an awesome job this morning and say good morning to everyone. Bastrop, Louisiana.
Good morning,
blessings to you, your grace.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for those kind words.
Teacher Tindall, can I ask a question of Bishop Stubbs? Is this your first time on the Lady broadcast, listening?
Yes, sir. It is my first time on the call. I'm an educator. And normally on Saturday mornings, I'm doing lesson plans, and I get caught up in my paperwork. But we're out for a couple of weeks, so I was able to get on this morning.
All right. Okay, I was just curious. It was good to hear you, Your Grace. He's one of our newest affiliates, so blessings to you.
And we hope you'll be able to listen again, Bishop Stubbs. Welcome.
Yes, ma'am. I will make every attempt.
Man, thank you.
I'm going to bring in, and I know we have two others. There's one, another number that's very special, so I'm going to wait for that one. But let's see here. Caller, you're at 920-344. Go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Deaconess Tequila. Blessings to everyone. I was just listening to the broadcast, which was very inspiring, Brother Marlon. About, you know, walking in faith. My comment, and it just brings to mind about walking in faith, but also I guess I have a question about comment and a question, I guess, combined here. Walking in faith, but also how could you walking in faith, but then fear, because you see that a lot. And how can people that, you know, come up against fear, but then they say they have faith, how can they utilize that?
Definitely. That is a profound question. I immediately thought about that question in two regards. The first is faith and fear being opposites, if you will, and maybe even polar opposites. And one is going to ultimately overwhelm the other, just like light and darkness. You know, the word tells us that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness could not perceive it. And I'd almost say let's plug in faith and fear. Our faith shines in the midst of our fears, and our fears cannot overtake it. And so I think that you have to wrestle with those two realities. It doesn't mean that we're not going to doubt. There's a verse in the Bible where Jesus is healing a blind man. He says, yes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, or help me not to doubt. It's natural that we will have moments of doubt. It's natural that we will have moments of fear. But at some point, one of those realities has to overwhelm the other. And if we have faith and put our faith in God, that reality will overwhelm our fear and allow us to conquer our fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Well, we have, we're going to bring in once again, I was trying to, make sure, because this number is blessed, and we want to bring them back on again. Caller, and I believe it's our EP and our Mother Bishop, 443-415. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Bishop Haywood. I would like to just dovetail one moment for a remark on the question that came up concerning politics and the presence of the Lord. And if you all recall, just about all of the ancient prophets and leaders in the Old Testament had the ears of the kings and people in authority.
Yeah.
All of them had a political presence. And the thing that was consistent with all of them was that they stood for the truth. It wasn't about whether they were a Sadducee or a Pharisee or what. They stood for the truth.
Yeah.
When the point that Jesus made clear to all of us when we read the New Testament and about his interaction with the different political groups that came to him, every one of them received the truth from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In fact, when Pilate had Jesus in the judgment hall, he even asked Jesus, as a politician, I'm sure that's where that question in Pilate emanated from. He asked, wanted to know from Jesus, what is the truth? And the word tells us that Jesus didn't respond. And the reason I believe that Jesus did not respond to that question is because what he was saying, when you look at my presence, you're looking at the truth.
Yeah.
When you're in my presence, you're in the presence of the truth.
Yeah.
when you talk about me, you're talking about the presence of the truth. So regardless of what political party one is in or what one is a part of or what one adhere to, the principle consistency must be the truth. And the truth is the word of God. That Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And I realize that it's altogether different as we interact with human people, but basically the constant that should govern us regardless of what party we adhere to is simply the truth of God's word. Wanted to make a remark concerning that.
Yes. And I would just like to comment as well that I think that Brother Marlon summed it up so beautifully, and we could really take a lesson from that, because we know in foreign countries they talk about a ministry of the treasury or a ministry of that. So there's a different mindset. It's not designed to divide people necessarily in divisive groups. And when you think of that, the prime minister and what that individual's assignment is for that group of people, it makes you look at things differently. I really think that is a lesson that could be learned in this country if we look at things from the point of a ministry and not so much a party, because the party is what divides us. They're designed to be divisive. And so that is such an excellent point, Brother Marlon. And maybe when Brother Marlon gets into the arena of being more politically influenced, that may be something that is designed to bring about. It may not happen in our lifetime, but maybe it may bring a different mindset to our people in this country if we look at things as a ministry. That things are there to help people and not to divide us. And I think also our bishop said it so clearly that whatever we do, it's not about the party. It's about following the truth, which is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So that's wonderful. And I'm sure that's a whole nother discussion for a whole nother program. But thank you, Brother Marlon, for answering that so precisely and so pristinely. It's something that we need to hear more of as Christians.
Amen. And you know, Mother Bishop, too, Brother Marlon also used the words public service.
Yes.
And I like to think of not politics, but the ministry of public service. That gives a whole new mindset from the word. Politics has negative connotations. But when we talk about a ministry of public service, and these were Brother Marlon's words, public service and ministry, I just put them together in a reverse. The ministry of public service is something that we as Christians can and should be involved in. But that's another whole discussion, and I'm so tempted to have Brother Marlon on our Laity Network Connections on the 23rd, but I'll have to talk to him offline about that. But this has been such a rich discussion, and I don't know about you all, but I feel challenged, because I want, you know what, when he was talking about Peter, and Peter didn't even have to say a word, he just showed up. And I've had experiences of praying for people on parking lots and in stores and on and I won't go into it, but I want to have the kind of faithful presence that just when someone is in need, I can just be standing beside them. And the power of God takes hallelujah. Thank you. That's what I want, that kind of presence.
That kind of presence. Yeah. Amen.
I'm getting excited, and I have to tamp. I keep telling Margaret, tamp yourself down, because you get too excited. But Jesus and the Word of God is someone to be excited about.
Amen.
I'm going to stop. Brother Marlon, you have really lit a flame.
Yes, you have. Yes. Yeah.
And we thank you so much. And it's just been a blessing. And we bid you Godspeed in your studies and in your particular journey, your ministry of public service.
Thank you so much. It's been a blessing to be a part of this dialogue. I've gotten so much back. just from all of the comments and further exhortation that's been coming forward from this talk. So I am grateful and could just really sit in this moment for a longer time. So I look forward to hopefully having a chance to come back at some point in the future.
Most definitely. And I don't know about you all, but I want to get that book that he referred to, Faithful Presence by former Governor Haslam. But before we go, I just want to, in addition to thanks to Brother Marlon, special thanks to our Ecumenical Patriarch, Bishop Tindall and Mother Bishop. They are our faithful listeners every single month. And for those of you who are listening, and also our Episcopal Board of Bishops, for their Amen. Support to the Ministry of Laity Training, and to our own Bishop Haywood. Oh, yes. My God, so faithful, the chairman of the Ministry of Communications. He ensures every month, I don't care if he does it on the road, on the highway, wherever he is places, I don't even know where he is, but he makes sure
yes.
that
yes.
the broadcast goes forth every month. Now, I do have some quick announcements, and I'm talking fast. Our next broadcast will be on Saturday, November 13th. Praying and asking God to direct us for who our speaker, but whoever it will be at the direction of the Holy Spirit. So Amen. Please set your schedule and plan to tune in. I want to remind you that the quarterly UFCCM Laity Network Connection Zoom event will be on Saturday, October 23rd at 11 a.m., 10 a.m. Central. Last quarter, we had such a wonderful discussion led by Attorney Banks Miley. And we mm-hmm. had outstanding attendance and participation. So yes. we are asking you to please, please plan on being a part of this Laity ministry, which is specifically designed to keep us connected. Mm-hmm. And information will be posted on the UFCCM website within the next week or so. So please wait, and in the next week, go to ufccm.org and get the information on how you can tune in on Zoom. Keep in mind yes. our monthly 24-hour prayer meeting. I'm not taking the place of our EP and Mother Bishop, but my heart is elated every month when I look at that list of those who are praying, and the list grows longer and longer, and it just does my heart good to see so many joining Amen. In the 24-hour prayer.
Yes.
If yes. you haven't signed up, you need to, please, because in these days and times, we know that we need prayer, there's power Amen. In prayer, and we need to pray without ceasing as never before. Finally, if you know individuals who want to know more about the UFCCM, send them to our website, ufccm.org. And as always, we invite your questions about these broadcasts or your requests for more information, or just to zip us a little text or email and let us know how these broadcasts have blessed you. You can contact me via email at teachertindall@ufccm.org. We would love to hear from you. So we're going to close out with our closing prayer from Bishop Haywood. I always ask him now to give us our closing prayer. Bless you, Bishop.
Amen. Well, blessings to each and every one. And, you know, we certainly, as we go to the throne of grace, we're asking that all hearts, minds are clear, and that not only that we hear the words, but we experience in our heart, mind, and spirit
yes.
that God is going to do exactly what we say out of our mouth and then mm-hmm. believe in our heart. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you right now for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're yet going to do. We ask, Lord God, that you would move mightily, Lord God. Father God, any and everything, Lord God, that we may have an agenda, we ask, God, that you would remove it, and, Lord God, that it is in your perfect will. We thank you, Lord God, for the presenter on today, Lord God, the man of God who so effectively fed us on today. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every one, Lord God, that participated, those that are on the line even yet now still may not have come on to say anything, but, Lord God, we pray, God, that something was said, either by question or by presentation, Lord God, that ministered to them. Father, we ask, God, right now that you would inspire us, open our mind's eye. We bind the enemy that comes to hinder, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And we do this, Lord God, effectively,
yes.
Lord God, right now, Lord, because we touch and agree. Where two or three are gathered together, you'll be in the midst. Whatsoever
yes.
we shall bind
yes.
on earth, you'll bind in heaven. Whatsoever we shall loose on earth, you'll loose in heaven. So, God, we stand together right now. Touch, Lord God, our host, Lord God, Father, and the chair, Lord God, of this ministry. Touch, God, and continue to inspire and encourage. And, Lord,
yes.
of course, Lord God, our speaker and his family. Touch them, Lord God. And God, even as they move further and further in your direction, Lord God, to spiritual and natural, Lord God, success, God, we pray for them. And we give your name, God, the praise, the glory, and the post and position that it deserves in majesty on our lips. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. God bless. See you next month.
See you next month.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry Offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.